Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, the valiant ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste, the wavering man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the cities, he regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth, Lebanon is ashamed and hemmed down. Sharon is like wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now I will rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted, now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff, ye shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all pray. Let's always look up to our Lord, our Master, our Savior. May the Lord grant His grace and mercy for all of us today to be united as one body of Christ in one mind, in one spirit, in one accord, as we pray together and commit a sermon to the Lord. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the words of life that is living inside of every one of us standing here, O Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for separating us from this world and gathering all of us here today as a congregation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. O Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to go through this process of perfection. It's a privilege, O Lord, to be able to hear thy voice, because, O Lord, it is the only identity we have on this earth, because we are the sheep who hear your voice. And it is you, O Lord, who showeth mercy unto all of us, because, O Lord, without thy grace and mercy, we won't be standing here, O Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the love, and we thank you, Lord, for all those brethren, faithful servants who prayed for us, not just yesterday or last month or last year, but Lord, all these years, throughout the generations, Lord, we remember them in our prayers, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for them in our lives. And Lord, we bless thy mighty name, because you prepared a place for all of us. You prepared this wonderful time. There are many prayers, many people, faithful servants, they were on their knees for us to be able to stand here, to praise you, to worship you, and to meditate on thy words of life. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all those living testimonies in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the beautiful fellowship, our family, where we call each other brother and sister. But Lord, we thank you, Lord. You are the head of the church and you are the head of our family. And without the vine, O Lord, we are nothing. Lord, you are our everything and you are our exceedingly great reward. Lord, help us, O Lord, to always hold on to you. It's not about what the tomorrow can bring to us, but Lord, today we have you right now, and that is all that matters, O Lord. You are our reward and you are our promised land and you are our rest. You are our anchor and you are our hope and you are absolutely everything for us, O Lord. Lord, help us, O Lord, to always look into you. The eternal salvation, the eternal joy, the eternal promise, the eternal love. And Lord, we serve the Lord who lives forever. And Lord, let us always look up to you, O Lord. We do not want to be bound to this world, to this flesh, what the past and present and future can bring to our life. But Lord, you are beyond time, and help us, O Lord, to always hold your hands and walk with you closely, most importantly, humbly, O Lord. We thank you for everything. We bless thy mighty name. And Lord, as one body of Christ, we ask in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, take complete control of our lives and take complete control of the sermon, our thoughts, our minds. Whatever we do, bless us that we do everything to glorify you, O Lord. We thank you for everything. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. In the name of Peter, we thank the Lord for the wonderful worship, and I also thank the Lord for the beautiful sharing on Friday. I'm truly blessed by starting from Genesis to parables of Jesus, then epistles of Apostle Paul, then prophetical books, then revelations. It was a very beautiful, deeper revelation. I'm really blessed. I thank the Lord for Brother Zoyal. We look forward to part two. And we thank the Lord for blessing all of us by the right nutrition, the manna. In our life, we have pain, sorrow, joy at different times. We are not going to be hit by the storm at the same time. Some will be standing on the top of the mountain. Some will be suffering in the valley. Some will be sailing joyfully and some will be sailing with a broken ship. The Lord knows how to handle his family. He knows how to manage his children, and he sends storm, winds, blessings, season of suffering, season of joy. He knows how to make us to go through a fire which won't consume us, but rather we will be forged by fire. We will be stronger than ever. But to do that, we need the fellowship. To do that, we have to move as one God's family. One accord, one mind, one spirit. As we all share one faith, one baptism, that is not sufficient. Because we all can say, we are 50 people, we all share the same faith, same baptism, we all have the same truth. It is still, we are separated. But when we come into one mind, the mind of Christ, in one accord, the thoughts and the actions of our faith, that is where we commune as friends. That is where we become one family of God. So may the Lord bless us. His words are not just powerful, it is time invariant. That is a beautiful way to say it. It cannot be bound to any time when it was spoken. In Old Testament, New Testament, the word lives forever. Amen. So may the Lord guide us today as we will continue our sermon. By the grace of God, last Sunday, we took a different direction to see the majesty, how miraculously the Lord created heavens and earth. And whatever is a pure representation of God's creation, it also magnifies the righteousness of the Lord and the greatness which cannot be measured by our limited, tiny, carnal mind. That is why last Sunday, we just took some examples of when we say the Lord spoke the word, when he established the thought, when he spoke the word is nothing but a form of vibration or sound. When the Lord says, when the lion roars, the entire forest becomes silent, because the roar is the identity of the lion. The word is the identity of our life in this world, because we are the living testimony. So whenever people see us in our workplace, in our family, in our friend circle, they should be able to see the Bible from us. They should be able to see the implementation of what we learn from the Bible in our life. And that action, faith with acts, is life. Because faith without act is considered death. If we want to live, we hold on to our faith, but we live according to what we learn. Then, better than how you can imagine, I will witness Christ, I will be evangelizing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can say all of that. But our life is the best testimony that we can live it to the Lord. Not give it to the Lord, live it to the Lord. So, 2 weeks before, Brother Rolly was sharing the relationship with sin, right? You see a very small, subtle shift. We were dead in sin before Christ, and we were dead to sin after Christ. The sentence looks same. Just a matter of two letters change. But it changed the entire context from death to life. So we must stay dead to sin. Which means when sin chases us, they should see us dead bodies. Because we are not there. Our flesh has been left behind. When God buried Moses, nobody could find his body. When God took Elijah, nobody could find Elijah. So when the Lord met Saul, nobody could find Saul. Saul disappeared. Saul died. Paul was born. So we believe that we are newborn. We are born again in Christ. But our life will speak louder than our words. So that is why the Lord wants all of us to learn from the life of Moses. Very important. He was born when he was 80 years old. The Moses Egyptian, he lived until 80 years old. But near that God, the mountain where God called him, the mountain of God, that is where God called Moses, Moses. Amen. He called his name twice. Whenever the Lord calls the name twice, something is going to happen afterwards. A great attention is about to come. Something great in, you know, emotion. So Moses was born. Moses, the servant of God. Moses, the priest, Moses, the leader of Israel, was born near the mountain of God. But he could not climb the mountain of God. Why? The child was proclaiming all his unfaithfulness with full nakedness. He was keep on arguing with the Lord. He was keep on telling the Lord, no, you are wrong. No, you are wrong. But God did not punish Moses. And God, even to so say that, he went along with Moses. He was keep on telling his child, I will do this. And Moses says, no, you won't. Then he says, okay, it's okay, I will do what you say. He was bargaining with Moses because the Lord knows he was an 80-year-old newborn baby. But the same Moses, if he had said that after 30, 40 years, after he received the Ten Commandments, after he performed all the miracles, if the same Moses had said that to the Lord, the consequence would be different. Because Moses has no leeway to say, I didn't know. He spent time with the Lord. The Lord was with him for 40 days. So, God deals with us, depends on our faith in terms of growth. The level of our faith represents how much we have grown in our spiritual life. Because holy, love, joy, peace, you cannot quantify. Either you have peace or you don't. Either you have joy or you don't. Either you are holy or you are not. As simple as that. I cannot say I am 99% at peace, but there is a 1% thought in my heart that troubles me. You are not at peace. I cannot say I do everything for the Lord for 7 days, but one day I will just go and spend time like a worldly guy with my colleagues and friends. You are not holy. I love the Lord, I love all the brethren in the church, but there is one person I cannot love because he hurt me. We are not in love. Either whole or not. Let it be yes or no be no. But in terms of faith, the Lord, that is where the Lord shows his grace to us. He knows that we are carnal, we are weak, we are extremely filthy in our own righteousness. The Lord knows. So he gives us time for us to grow. God gave time to Moses for him to grow. And Moses proved his calling. Not just by doing something, but he put his own life on the line to prove his calling. So when the Lord gave time to Moses, when the Lord gives time to all his people, it becomes grace. Amen. Time becomes grace when it is used for your spiritual growth. Time becomes grace when the Lord uses you to serve him. Time becomes grace when the Lord helps you to know him more. But the grace cannot be misused. If we misuse the grace from the Lord, we will actually bring forth all the sufferings upon our head, multifold, because we are actually playing a game with the Lord, as if we think the Lord will remain gracious. The way the Lord dealt with Moses is a lesson for all of us that goes through ages, forever. The way the Lord dealt with Moses. So today, by the grace of God, we will start with where we left from last Sunday, chapter 4. And let's go and turn our Bibles to chapter 4 as we will continue the journey of the Ark of the Covenant. We are doing it parallel. We are traveling with Moses, and also we are holding our hands with Apostle Paul, and we are traveling with him, because they have done the same ministry in different time, in different perspective, in different, a purpose, but it's the same ministry. Spiritual exodus, and compared to what the Lord had done with Moses, a proper physical exodus from one place to another place. Let's Exodus chapter 4. We will read from verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. In these four verses, the Lord brought a rod and a serpent out of nowhere into the picture. Moses says, "They won't believe me. They won't even believe me if they tell them that you appeared unto me." So, can we say a rod which can change into a serpent, and a serpent which can change into a rod, a simple little miracle, can it bring faith or belief to the people of Israel who are in slavery? But the Lord told Moses, "I will give this sign to you." But why serpent? Could be any other animal, could be any other thing, could be even a burning bush. But why serpent? And not just that. Verse 3 says, the Lord, verse 4 says, "The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail," not by the head. Please read it very carefully. The Lord told Moses, "Do not touch the head, but take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's revisit this, because the Lord said something exactly the opposite. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I shall read from verse 14 to have the complete context. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head," not the tail, "it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We know what this verse represents. Amen. But here, all the servants of God who are used by the Lord in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, remember that we are part of the word. Amen.
We are part of the Word, and we are here to conform to the image of the Son, the image of Him. Every servant of God, they are part of the Word. Amen. If the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, if He is a complete manifestation of God's Word, you could see the attributes of the Word in the servants of God. You can see Jesus in Moses. You can see Jesus in Aaron. You can see Jesus in Joseph. You can see Jesus in every single servant of God who are used by the Lord for His glory, for His ministry, who are obedient, sincere, willing until the very last breath of their lives. You should be able to see Jesus. We cannot say Aaron is high priest. I will compare Jesus to Aaron. No. Everyone who are and who are a servant of God in the Bible, we should be able to see the life of Jesus in them. The attributes of our Savior, our Redeemer in them. Moses redeemed Israel from the slavery. And everything that happened in the life of Moses, in the life of Aaron, we can see the priestly ministry that is about to come in the New Testament. Amen. But what is more important here is, the Lord gives examples. Of course, the serpent that we read here is not an upright creature. It's just a normal serpent, you know, of the field. And the word serpent is not something that we always have to link it with the evil. If you read the Bible in Psalms, serpent are used to represent wisdom and knowledge. Even the Lord David sang a song, said that they have the mind of serpent, that knowledge and wisdom was like serpent. It's not just cunning. It's just to show how wise it is. The spirit of lion. So the animal represents a certain character. Amen. But here the Lord intentionally told Moses to throw the rod. And that rod, remember, he was actually sitting down near the mountain of God. And he was keeping the flock. That is where the burning bush came. So he was, as a shepherd, he always hold his rod so that he can manage the sheep. And the Lord said, that rod will change into serpent. And that serpent will change back to rod. So you just go and show it to the people of Israel and they will believe. Now the Lord did not tell Moses, go thy way. This is very important. He dealt with Samuel differently. He dealt with Saul differently. He talked to Ananias differently. But when he spoke to Moses, he did not reject Moses. He did not tell Moses, no, you should listen what I say. He did not say that. Chapter 4 is very beautifully written. A father is pampering a child. A father is feeding a child, taking care of a child. And the child is making noise, crying, and the Lord is trying to go along so that he won't break the child, so that he won't harm the growth of Moses, because the Lord knows what Moses is lacking. You see, Jesus called the disciples when they were doing some work in the seashore. He told them, come and follow me. Amen. Did he tell them, can you come and follow me? Are you willing to come and follow me? Did he give them an option? No. He told them, come and follow me. It is a clear-cut instruction. If they are the sheep, they will hear his voice and they will obey. Amen. So, they were able to follow him. But the same disciples, when they were waiting in the Garden of Gethsemane, now the word is a bit different. Watch and pray. Come and follow me was so easy, because you know why? As long as you see the person who is going in front, you can just talk about your worldly desire, your family, your work, you can nag, you can complain, you can badmouth, you can say all of that, but still follow him. Because the Lord did not tell you what to do. The Lord did not tell you to pray to him. The Lord did not tell you anything to do something spiritual. Just follow me. So it was an easy instruction. The sheep was able to hear the voice, and there was no option given to the sheep. When the Lord said, come and follow me, remember the verse, they left everything at once and they followed him. It's a very important verse. They never saw Jesus before. They never spoke to him. They don't know him. But they left everything at once and they followed him. Now, therefore, now, they did not say, Lord, give me one day, I'll go and say bye to my family. No, they had no choice, because what God said was a word spoken. It must come to pass. Come and follow me, they follow him. But watch and pray, there are two simple words, but it is completely bound to your free will. It is completely bound to a battle against your flesh. It is not the same as come and follow me. When Jesus said watch and pray, they slept. 3 times when the Lord came and said, he went, they slept. They could not do what he said this time. Because this time, he did not place a command. He did not place an order. He requested them, watch and pray. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Amen. Because he is our exceedingly great reward. The word exceedingly is not simple figurative word. It is spiritual. It is accurate. The Lord is our exceedingly great reward. To receive him, he has to go through an exceedingly sorrowful unto death experience. And when he needed the disciples, when he truly needed them, when he wanted them as his friends, when he's going through such a pain, they were sleeping. So now, these people were not new to Christ. They were walking with him closely. So now, let's apply this to Moses. Moses is meeting the Lord for the very first time, a first encounter. But here, God Almighty speaking to an unfaithful child. Moses was completely unfaithful. Let's continue. We have read until the first 5 verses. There is a beautiful, I would say, the Lord opened a door, a subtle opening of a door, for something to happen many years later. In chapter 3, verse 22, let's read this once. In chapter 3, verse 22, please read this. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and the jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. This is where we finished our sermon last Sunday. Amen. Who is speaking this? God is telling Moses what to do. He is telling him, tell the people of Israel to bring silver and to bring gold. Amen. We all know what happened when people had gold. They made the golden calf. And they were punished. 3,000 were killed when Moses had to come down from the mountain. And the Lord told Moses the few verses before, I will do wonders for you and the people of Israel. And I will deliver you from the hands of Egypt. And you will be with me and I will do wonders. The Lord has seen everything through. Because he told Moses, I am going to do wonders. I am going to do everything to harden the hearts of Pharaoh. And I am going to perform miracles. So he has seen everything. But he could have told them, do not bring gold. Because if you bring gold, over time, many years from now, you will be making golden calf. So I don't want you to feel my wrath. No, he didn't say that. He told them to bring the gold. Imagine people of Israel left the Egypt with absolutely empty handed. And when the Lord was speaking to Moses in the mountain for 40 days to prepare the commandments, people had nothing to make golden calf, right? But they had gold. They had some spoils left, and which allowed them to make a golden calf. This reminds us, all of us, even in our life today, whatever the little blessing, little luxury, or whatever that we think that we are absolutely happy, rejoicing, the Lord bless me, the Lord bless me, be careful, the very same gold will make you to build a golden calf over time. The very same ego, pride, confidence, our own strength, our own mind, whatever we think that belongs to the world, will make us to make a golden calf over time. Let's be very careful. That is what the Lord says, seek the kingdom of God first. Everything else will be added to you. And what is everything else? Whatever is sufficient for you to pass through the wilderness. Whatever is just sufficient for you to complete the journey. And this verse is a reminder. The Lord allows things. Because he wants us to go through a fire. So that we would be able to face the consequences of being a true child of God. We would not have a simple life. We would not have an easy life. If it is so easy, the entire population of the earth will be praising, worshipping him today. But they don't. It's going to be a life of pain. But we have the assurance it will go just like that. Amen. In just two verses, the Lord told Moses to bring the jewel. He told Moses to bring the gold. And the Lord told Moses, go and tell this, they will believe me. And Moses says, no, I know them better than you, they won't believe me and they won't believe you. Then says, okay, If they don't believe me, the Almighty, I am that I am, the God of your ancestors, your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, okay, go and take this stupid wood rod and go and make it as a stupid snake and convert it back and see if they believe you. A simple vanity of miracle. But Moses didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry. But he took it. Oh yes, now I have a sign. Now I have a sign. You see, verse 6 says, Lord did not stop. He didn't even ask Moses, are you happy with this sign? He didn't give him a chance because he knows the deepest desire of our heart. He knows the true intention of our heart. And he is still seeing unfaithful baby crying in the heart, about to cry. So he don't want to hear the nagging. He continues to speak. You see, verse 6 says, the Lord furthermore. Whenever you see furthermore, the Lord knows it is not sufficient for you. I'm adding one more. He says, the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Now, a healthy flesh became leprous. And it is also a personal experience to Moses, because the Lord warned Moses to defend Miriam over time when Miriam will turn to leper, correct? Because she spoke bad about Moses. And the Lord came down and Moses stood in the gap to preserve her life. And when the Lord told her, you will be a leper, stay outside of the camp for 7 days, Moses knows, yeah, I already see the leprous hand turns into beautiful flesh. Moses has already been shown, the Lord is able, this is nothing. But God did everything in the life of Moses, not just to teach him or to grow his faith, because Moses is already chosen, amen? Moses is a chosen servant of God. But the Lord wants all of us to understand, the lessons that I have been taught to the servants of God is for you and me. Because the Lord's presence was with them. They sacrificed their whole life for Him. We can never take a position of spectator when it comes to Bible. We are involved in that situation. Every time I read, I always try to put myself standing near to that situation where the Lord is speaking to Moses. And I just take my position as an Israel, people of Israel, what I would think. It really gives me an understanding how unfaithful we could be. And we always have to put ourselves in the Word, because we are also part of the Word. Whatever the Lord told the people, we should reflect on upon ourselves. Amen. Verse 6, he gave another sign. And verse 7, he says, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the later sign. The Lord does not stop here. He says, he sees the people of Israel from the mirror of Moses. Whatever Moses says, people of Israel would be thinking the same. Because he was a single example of how unfaithful, how stiff-necked the people of Israel are. That is why the Lord did not simply look at Moses. He sees people of Israel through him. Remember, when the Lord spoke to Saul, he told Saul, 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 why you persecute me? Amen? But when the Lord spoke to Moses, 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 my people are suffering and I want you to deliver them. He excluded himself from the people of Israel. He did not tell them, why you persecute me? Because he is holy. But the time of Saul, the encounter of Saul with Jesus, is entirely different in terms of time scale, in terms of the period of grace, compared to when the Lord met Moses. That is why they had to make an Ark of the Covenant to receive the Shekinah glory of the Lord. But the time of Paul is the present established truth. It is different. The Lord put everything upon him and said, why you persecute me? But when he spoke to Moses, he said, people of Israel are persecuted. They are suffering. They are in slavery. I want you to go and deliver them. He did not put himself in that situation, because God did not make that holy nation of Israel yet. The sacrifice atonement is about to come. So now, the Lord said all of this. If the first sign is not sufficient, it's okay. I will give another later sign. Verse 9, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land.
And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Amen. Water, river, dry land, blood. Four words. God does not do anything to excite people. He don't do anything for a mere seeking attention. It's always spiritual. Amen. Water, river, dry land, blood. So, we will get there later. The Lord told all of this to Moses. Much more than what Moses asked for. Amen. Now Moses could have, you know, awakened from his deep sleep of unfaithfulness. But he comes up with another mighty shield of armor to fight against God, to hustle against God. And verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. This is the response Moses gave to the Lord after he gave him all these signs, after he gave him all this, you know, leeway for Moses to understand a bit. But Moses said something entirely different. You see, God told Moses, take the rod, throw it in the floor, it will turn to a serpent and catch it by tail and become rod, right? Is there any involvement of being eloquent in speech? No. It's just a matter of actions. And said, then he said, take your hand, put it in your bosom, it will turn leprous, and put it back again, it will turn to your other flesh. Amen. Is there any involvement of speaking eloquently for a longer period of time in front of the people of, you know, Egypt or the Pharaoh? No. Then where, how come Moses came out of nowhere and said, I can't speak well, I am very slow in speech? Why he said that? God only mentioned about actions. He did not mention anything about writing a psalm or singing beautifully like, you know, David. He just told Moses, go and do these three actions. And you know, the water, river, dry land, blood. All these three signs God told Moses, rod to serpent, hand to leprous, to again other flesh, and water, river, blood, dry sand. There is nothing that involves giving a mighty speech to change the people of Israel or to convince the king of, you know, Egypt. No. But still Moses came with an unreasonable shield of armor to fight against the Lord's, you know, dealing with him. And this is where the father gets angry. Until this point of time, he was very quiet, kind to pamper the child. But now verse 11 says, the Lord sent unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who will send. He literally refused what the Lord asked of him. The Lord gave him the most powerful, beautiful blessing anyone can imagine of, which is, he says in verse 12, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And we are all praying with this verse today. Lord, help me to speak the way you want me to speak. Be my voice. Let me be a vessel. Teach me how I can live a life to please you. Lord, teach me that I can do whatever you say. This is the prayer of all the people who want to complete the race that is set before them. The bride who is going through perfection, the entire perfection can be simplified into these two lines. If we are all the mouth of the Lord to speak, which means the vessel is prepared. If we are the vessel for the Lord will tell us and we will do. That is what we want in our life. But we are fighting against the flesh, the carnality. The Lord told Moses, I will be your mouth and I will teach you. It's a promise given to him, but still Moses said, no Lord, go and find some other hand. Not once, not twice, not thrice, he was keep on repeating how unfaithful he is, and the Lord is seeing Israel through Moses. So the child is growing, not now. Moses has not yet taken a single step on the mountain yet. Amen.
He is not. He is still far away from the mountain of God. Still far away. And the Lord is drawing him. Come hither. Now. Now. Because there is no time left. So, we just stop here. And I just want to focus on few verses. Because the Lord called Moses twice. Moses, Moses. Amen. Can we say that he simply called Moses twice, Moses, Moses? Or can we say he could have called Moses three times, Moses, Moses, Moses? Can we say that? We cannot say that. Every number in the Bible, it has the spiritual manifestation of God's words behind. So we will look into that before we continue how the Lord dealt with Moses. Because Aaron was a result of Moses' unfaithfulness. Do you see that? If Moses did not take up the job, Aaron would be jobless. Because Moses refused all his blessings, it was given to Aaron. And that is the reason the Lord dealt with Aaron very differently compared to all others. So we will go there by God's grace. Exodus chapter 4, please read from verse 14 all the way to 31 slowly.
So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth.
Amen.
And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs." Verse 18. So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt, and see whether they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn.' And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, 'Surely you are a husband of blood to me.' So he let him go. Then she said, 'You are a husband of blood because of the circumcision.' And the Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped."
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So we just read the rest of chapter 4 so that we understand the context first. The Lord gave the instructions, blessings, promises to Moses, but Moses keep on resisting keep on rejecting, and it kindled anger from the perspective of the Lord, why the child is like this. But the Lord knows everything. Amen. You please see the way the Lord responded to Moses in verse 14. We will go deeper as the Lord guides us. Verse 14 says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Now, in New King James Version, you will be reading, Aaron is coming to meet you. The Lord did not say he will come and meet you. Please focus on that very carefully. The Lord said to Moses, Aaron is coming to meet you. He is on the way. The Lord has prepared Aaron already because he knows Moses. Moses is his child. But he would not assume anything because he always gives what needs to be said. He told everything to Moses, and when the anger kindled, he talks about Aaron. The beauty is, the name of Aaron was mentioned when the Lord was angry against Moses. And the Lord said, okay, he's your brother, right? He can speak well, right? Okay, he's coming to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Every time there is an important word that talks about speaking the word of the Lord or uttering the what the Lord wants to say, you will always see the word heart around the chapter. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. Verse 14 ends with heart. He will be glad in his heart. A brother is joy, you know, he's full of joy when he meets his brother. Because he's coming to the wilderness to meet his brother. And Aaron will be glad, but the Lord is angry when he was telling this. He will be glad, but he was angry. Because the verse says the Lord anger aroused against Moses. Now, love, let's please remember whatever we studied so far. When the Lord called Moses for the first time, he called him Moses, and again Moses. Amen. He called him twice. And he responded, here I am. When he asked for the Lord's name, the Lord responded, I am that I am. Correct? That's how the Lord responded. That is my name. Then Moses could not understand. Then he said, okay, go and tell them, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And as the journey continues, every second that he spent with the Lord is a very important, long journey. Time is only applicable to him. And as the journey continues, Moses turns his own self. He is asking, who am I? He is calling the name. He says, yes, I am here. And the Lord says, my name is I am that I am. And he gives him a task. And now Moses says, who am I? And not just that. When he said, I am, verse 10 says, Moses tells the Lord, I am not whom you think. When Moses says, I am not eloquent, he's telling the Lord, you are thinking about me, that I am something else. But let me tell you, I am not. He's telling the Lord, I am not. The Lord did not tell him anything. The Lord did not tell him, hi Moses, I want you to speak well. I know you are eloquent. He did not say that. He only said, I know your brother can speak well. The Lord never said, Moses, you can speak well. He never said that. Moses took a position of assumption, a presumption. He said, Lord, I think you are thinking about me something else. But let me tell you, I am not. He is his own master at that point. Moses tells the Lord, you are not my master. I am my own master. Because I know myself better than you. Now his response is, I am not. You look at the transition. Here I am. Who am I? I am not. These are the words spoken by Moses to the Lord when the Lord called him. And the blessing of Aaron was a result of the anger of the Lord. Those who think, oh Lord, do not show your wrath upon me, don't be angry with me. But brethren, remember, he is righteous. He is the judge. Even the anger of the Lord can yield a beautiful fruit in your life. If the Lord was not angry, there is no Aaron, there is no high priest. Moses could not have completed his journey without Aaron. We all know how important Aaron was. He was literally handling the people of Israel alone when Moses was spending time with the Lord on the mountain. Aaron was always sacrificing his everything for Moses. Remember, Moses had the privilege to be with the Lord, not Aaron. Aaron was always in the valley. He was always in the valley, literally and also physically. Moses was always on the top of the mountain. But Aaron was always in the valley, taking care of people of Israel. That is why when the people of Israel met the golden calf, Lord punished everyone. Aaron was standing unharmed. When Miriam spoke against Moses, the Lord punished Miriam. Aaron was standing unharmed. You know why? God did not give an option to Aaron. God didn't even ask Aaron, will you do this? He didn't even ask this. If you remember this chapter very clearly, there was no choice given to Aaron. Similar to what happened to the disciples, come and follow me. They left everything at once, they followed him. There was no option given to Aaron because the promise of Aaron was given to Moses, not to Aaron. It is very important. You have to think why. God told everything about Aaron, not to Aaron, to Moses. Because the Lord told Moses, I will be your mouth. And Moses said, it's okay, I'm good. I'm not eloquent, I'm slow of speech. Slow of speech. Let's go to James. James chapter 1 verse 19-20. And also please read Psalms chapter 19:9.
So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Psalms chapter 19 verse 9.
Yes.
For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Psalms 146 verse 8. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raised them that is bowed down. The Lord loved the righteous.
Amen. So, when Moses was telling the Lord that I cannot speak well, he truly means it. He cannot speak well, he has this, you know, speaking slowly kind of weakness, whatever it is. But he tells the Lord, I am not whom you think. That is what we are focusing here. I am not whom you think. But first he said, here I am. But then, you know, the Lord is actually uncovering the nakedness of Moses, step by step, so that Moses can reflect upon himself. Not now. He won't reflect upon himself now. The Lord is sowing the seed. And when the anger of the Lord aroused, the name of Aaron comes up. Amen. Also remember, the world that we live in the seventh church age, things will get worse and worse and worse, to the extent that our gracious Lord, the anger will be aroused when he decides to put a stop to the grace period. So there is always the anger of the Lord behind important decisions that he makes to destroy these things that are not, that doesn't belong to him, to preserve the things that belong to him. There is always anger of the Lord because he is righteous. We cannot separate the anger of the Lord from the love of God. It is same. It is the other side of the fire, but it is the same. Anger of the Lord is not something that we should be worried or scared. We can only have fear of the Lord, not because of his anger, but because of his almighty, because he is almighty. Because of the love that he showed to us. That is the fear. Lord, I don't want to betray your love. I don't want to live a life that, you know, you look at me that I'm not pleasing you. Lord, I fear such a life. So I fear you. I fear your life. I fear your love. That is the fear, not the anger. This anger is very important because the high priest is being introduced in verse 14. And it's actually an outcome of anger over something unfaithfulness. Now, when the Lord told Moses in verse 12, I will be your mouth. And in New King James Version, it is very clearly written, I will be your mouth. Or I will be with your mouth. And you know how powerful this promise is? Let's read Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 21 to 23.
Beware of him, and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you in to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites.
Amen.
And I will cut them off.
Amen.
Verse 21 says, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. 22 says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. Please read that verse again. We saw that verse a few weeks ago. Obey his voice, but I speak. The Lord says, obey his voice, but I speak. Then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. What was spoken to Saul, why you are persecuting me, and what was spoken to Moses, people are suffering, I am holy, I am here, I am willing to help them, can you stand in the gap? God did not put himself in the midst of the people of Israel, because they are not ready. So here, he says in chapter 23, the power of being the mouth of God, so that the voice could be yours, but it is he who speaks. Verse 22 clearly says, obey his voice and do all that I speak. It talks about the angel of the Lord, as we all know. But the very important lesson for all of us is, obey his voice. It does not say he speaks. Obey his voice and obey what he speaks. No, the Lord put himself in him. He says, obey his voice, I speak. He gave a very similar powerful promise and powerful blessing to Moses. I will be with thy mouth. I will teach you what you to speak. But Moses said, no, I'm good. I am not eloquent. Now, we continue from where we left. When the Lord spoke this to Moses, when the anger aroused against Moses' unfaithfulness, and he tells Moses that, you know, when he talks about Aaron in 14, he tells him that, verse 15, and thou shalt speak unto him. Here, please focus. The Lord did not say, I will speak unto him. The Lord says, I gave it to you. You rejected it. So I will send someone. You deal with him. You speak unto him. Usually, if you look at all the old patriarchs, the Lord always go and talk to Noah, Jacob. He gave the same promise to them again, the way he spoke to Joshua. But when it comes to Aaron and Moses, the way the Lord dealt them looked like they cannot be separated. Although the Lord called the name twice, Moses, Moses, Moses could have told the Lord, please wait for some more time. My brother Aaron is coming. Then you can call us Moses, Aaron. But Moses does not even know that Aaron is coming. It was the Lord who told Moses, Aaron is coming. He did not say, because you reject my blessing, because you refuse my command, Aaron will come. He did not say that. It is not in future tense. It was in present tense. He is coming. He is on the way because I know you. He is on the way. I prepared him already because I know you will say this. He is on the way. Aaron is on the way. And verse 15 says, you shall speak unto him and put words in his mouth. When I read that verse, Lord, we want you to put the words in our mouth. We want you to teach us. We want you to speak through us. But the Lord told Moses, you will speak unto him and you will put your words into his mouth. Because I gave something to you, the word cannot fail. The word cannot return to the Lord in vain. Because the Lord spoke. Amen. The Lord told Moses, this is what you will do. I will be with thy mouth. The Lord would not say, oh Moses, oh you just said I am not. Oh sorry, please forget what I said. Let me do something. No, he cannot say that because the word has been spoken. God told Moses, I will be with thy mouth and I will teach you what to speak. He said that, right? The word came out of the mouth of the Lord. That's it. It will come to pass. So the Lord is not changing his approach. Everything is beautifully you know, happening according to His perfect will. But His children are being the free will who are making things more exciting, not make things more lively. And He says, I spoke to you, I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what to speak. But since you don't want to be the mediator, I am bringing you a mediator. And you will speak unto him and you will put your words into his mouth because I will tell you what to do. I was like, why there is a cell phone behind? It's like Aaron becomes a mobile phone between the Lord and Moses and the people of Israel. And the Lord said, I will be with thy mouth. You see how he travels from here. Because he is the fountain of life. And the Lord gives you a blessing. You cannot say, oh, this blessing is worth $10,000. I'm going to stack the spoils. 5,000 for you, 5,000 for you. No. It is split as 10,000, 10,000. And the Lord said, I will be with your mouth. You rejected it. In your weakness, I will prove my strength. And he brought Aaron. Then the Lord tells, I will be with thy mouth. And with his mouth. Amen. You please see how the Lord introduced Aaron so beautifully to Moses. So that Moses will remember this rest of his life. That Aaron, Moses, is accountable of his brother. Because it was Moses who pulled Aaron into this picture. And now Moses, the Lord brought Aaron to Moses. Two is better than one. And now the Lord tells, for the first time, I will be with his mouth. Fourth thing, Aaron could have talked to Lord face to face. Lord would have told Aaron, I will be with your mouth. But he didn't say that. Because the vessel has been chosen. Moses is the chosen leader of people of Israel. And he told Moses, I will tell this to you, go and tell him. I will be with your mouth, I will also be with his mouth. He sent the blessing through the leader. Anointing flows from top to bottom. Amen. And now the Lord says, verse 15, he ends it by saying that, and with his mouth, and will teach you what he shall do. Here, the word you does not represent singular. It becomes plural. You, two of you. You know why? The Lord mentioned this to Moses already. I will teach you what you shall do. Now the Lord says again, I will teach you what you shall do. Teach you. Because he just said before, I will be with your mouth, I will be with his mouth. So when the Lord said, I will teach you, he is talking to both. Through Moses. Why? We follow again. And verse 16 he says, he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. What? How can a man can take the position of God? How? In these two verses, the Lord answered all his questions. Why? He told Moses, I will be with your mouth. I will put my words to thee. And you will put the words to Aaron. And he will be a spokesperson. So Aaron becomes the spokesperson, as we read it here, who will take care of speaking, who will take care of uttering the words. And Moses, most of the time, he was doing actions. He was spending all his time with the Lord to prepare the commandment, to write all the books. So Moses, although the Lord called him as a people of Israel, leader of people of Israel, Aaron was also going through the same suffering along with Moses. Amen. And here Aaron becomes the spokesperson. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, 50. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Who can give you the tongue of the learned? It doesn't matter what tongue we have. It's eloquent, so knowledgeable, so much flow, whatever we can say. But the Lord says, only the Lord can give you the tongue of the learned. Not any learned, taught by him, the knowledge and wisdom of God. He says, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakened morning by morning. He wakened mine ear to hear as the learned. What is this learning that we are talking about here? Is it something like the knowledge and wisdom of this world? Or to be able to understand what the Lord wants to speak to his people at that particular season? That is the tongue of the learned. That is why in James chapter 1 verse 19-20 we just read, "Swift to hear, slow to speak." So when Moses said, "Lord, I am eloquent, I am slow of speech," it was like, "You are blessed man, you are already blessed, you can't speak faster. Naturally you are controlled by your thoughts, cannot come into words so fast. You are blessed, naturally you are limited." But Moses did not see his blessing, but rather he was looking at it as a curse or something like a weakness. Of course, these slow of speech are different, but it is the same effect, which is, when the Lord says swift to hear, because he is always speaking to us, we must listen to him, but slow to speak, to meditate, to understand where we stand, to understand how much we yield to him before we say a word concerning the Lord's word. And this is what we read in Isaiah 54. And now Aaron has received that beautiful blessing of being a spokesperson of the Lord, but Moses is begging. The Lord put Moses between him and Aaron. Although Aaron is the high priest, still he has Moses in between. God told very clearly, "He shall be thy spokesperson unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." Instead of God. Instead of God. God would never ever bypass his own authority. You cannot see this in Bible. He would never tell a son to despise his father. He would never say, authority is set by the Lord. And Moses is the leader of people of Israel. And Moses is going to spend time with the Lord face to face, to talk to him, to pray to him for 40 days. Many things are about to happen. But Aaron must stand in the gap as a high priest, as a mediator, so the people of Israel would not be perished. So Lord put Aaron as Moses, what Moses was supposed to do. Because God wants Moses for certain other activities. So the Lord told, "You will be like God to him." New King, can someone read NKJV? New King James Version. Yeah, same verse.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 16. "So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God."
You shall be to him as God. King James Version is shows instead of God. As God. Not God, but as God. Because God is holy, and the tabernacle is not there yet. Shekinah Goli, Ark of the Covenant, everything is not there yet. He cannot dwell in the midst of his children. They are not holy. They are not ready. He is light. In him there is no darkness. He cannot put himself in the midst of the people who profane the name of the Lord. God cannot exist where there is darkness. Amen. So he can only prepare Moses to use him for some time. Then he replaced the vessel with another one when the time comes. So the relationship behind Aaron and Moses was designed by the Lord, and the Lord has not spoken to Aaron yet. Amen. Aaron is on the way. He is on the way, but the Lord said everything. How come? Think very carefully. God had to appear in a burning bush to Moses, and he has been talking to him for all this while, for two chapters. But God takes his assumption or the confirmation. He confirms everything on behalf of Aaron, even without speaking to Aaron yet. He did not even get the consent or acknowledgement or acceptance from Aaron yet. It was not a calling to Aaron. It was a blessing to Aaron. It was actually kind of, Aaron was drawn into the perfect will of God. God said everything even before Moses even met Aaron. The position of Aaron was designed so beautifully. Aaron has not yet seen it. It tells us how he looks at all of us in our lives. He knows the deepest point of our life, our heart, the true intentions. It continues where he said, verse 17, "Thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, and therewith thou shalt do signs." Did God take that rod of Moses and pass it to Aaron? We all know what is the importance of Aaron's rod. Amen? It is Aaron's rod. It was not Moses' rod. It was called, it is called, it will be called forever, the rod of Aaron. God does not need someone to hide someone. God does not need someone to cover someone. Everybody has their unique, beautiful, powerful position in the Lord's kingdom according to His will. It's not about who He's called what. He has only one name for all of us. And that name has no partiality. Children, servants, brothers, sisters, priests, bride, you can put all those names how the Lord sees us. Can you see any up and down? Can you see any senior, principal, global architect, junior, global architect? No, there is no such thing. Everybody will get one token of reward. Now, when the Lord dealt with Moses, and Moses knows that, you know, he becomes more obliged to Aaron now. And now, we just listen to what Brother Ingfon just read. Moses went to his father-in-law because he pays respect to him. He is telling him what he is going to do. He explains everything. But let's focus on when the meeting happened between Aaron and Moses. So when Aaron met Moses, it's verse 27, we read this. And the Lord said to Aaron, verse 27, this is where the Lord is speaking to Aaron. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. Please focus on this. Who kissed him? Aaron kissed Moses because he's seeing his brother. I believe everybody remembers Aaron is elder than Moses. When I was young, I always thought Moses is the elder brother. Aaron is elder than Moses. Amen. So when Aaron met his younger brother, he was so glad and he hugged him and kissed him. But there is another mystery behind this. The mother of Moses sent Moses in an ark of bulrushes to save his life. But Aaron is called the brother of Moses. We will go to that later, but there was nothing mentioned too much about the life of Aaron. Until here, he meets Moses when he's about 83 years old. I think the age difference is about 3 years between them. So when Aaron saw his brother, he was glad in his heart, as the Lord told him. He hugged him and kissed him. So there is love between two brothers. But the Lord told Moses, Aaron is coming to you. Verse 27 says, the Lord told Aaron, you go to the wilderness and meet your brother Moses. Then who sent Aaron to Moses? The Lord himself. It's not Aaron found Moses. The Lord told Aaron to find Moses. And the Lord dealt with Moses, so the situation is being prepared just nice. So that when Aaron lands, he will take the position. He will take the blessing. He will take the calling. It's not an option to him. It is same as come and follow me. It's same as that. Because there was no conversation between Aaron and the Lord. Here I am, who I am not, no. The Lord told Moses, I know he can speak well. Done. Since you said and you believe you cannot speak well, which I never asked you for, fine, let it be. But still, what I said stands true. I will be with thy mouth and I will be with you to teach you and you be his mouth and you put your words in his mouth. He just put everything on Moses' responsibility, telling that I'm not going to let you escape from your work. Do your work. Because it was a work of Moses. He can try to hide his face, but he needed a plus to stand in the gap. Moses was simply compared as God to Aaron, right? It's not a simple comparison, right? You see, Moses cannot do certain things with the people of Israel and the Pharaoh and the enemy, and he needs someone to stand in the gap, and Aaron is crucified in the middle as a high priest for things that Moses cannot do. But here we talk about the faithfulness of Moses. Let's bring the faithfulness and righteousness of God. God is holy. In him there is no darkness. He is light. He is spirit. He needs the flesh to attack the enemies, to attack the people, to do everything with the flesh. He needs the flesh. And that's why we know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is called the high priest, the mediator, who still intercedes for you and me. And now he says, yeah, you will be like God to him, instead of God, instead of me, because I will deal only with you. Now, this is what the Lord told to Aaron, and there was no record of what Aaron responded. It's like when the Lord told Isaiah, go naked, and he did accordingly so. No conversation, no ended, period. And now, the verse 28, And Moses told Aaron, whatever the Lord told Moses, Moses followed, because he has no more reason to cry. Now, finally, the child starts speaking. So far, he was crying. He started speaking. Because for the very first time, the Lord told Moses, you tell everything to Aaron. And this is the first task that Moses did, you know. If you look at the life of Moses, the very first task that Moses fulfilled is speaking to Aaron of what the Lord told him. Verse 28. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. You see how beautiful it is written. Who had sent him? The Lord sent someone, and the Lord asked someone to convey the message to him. And Moses was waiting to tell this, whatever the Lord told him to tell to Aaron. It was not given to Aaron directly because the word was spoken. It's very important. It's very important why the Lord told things to Moses in such a way. Now, this is where the relationship of Moses and Aaron is knitted together. But if you see, do you see love? Remember Jonathan and David? There was a covenant, right, between them. It was totally built upon love. Amen? Now, if the entire discussion between Aaron and Moses, take the two words, he was glad in his heart. He hugged him and kissed his brother. Take these two words out of this chapter and read the chapter again. It will be like God forced two people to work together. It is not God's work. God would never do that. He cannot do that. His people will be of one mind. His people will be of one accord. They are God's people. That is why he told the Tower of Babel, oh, you guys are becoming one. I will confirm you. He didn't let it happen because it is his oneness, it belongs to him. So here Aaron and Moses, they literally become one, as if the two flesh shall be one. You know why? All the responsibilities are given to Moses, and Moses said, I am not. Then it was shared across Aaron and Moses, shared. And all the promises that God told to Moses, it was given to Aaron as well. And now the Lord told Moses that everything will happen from now on because we have a spokesperson. Amen? Someone to speak the word. And verse 29. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And now Aaron spake the words. Moses did not say anything. So the child started speaking, and there is one more who spake the word. Spake the word. Who was ready, was prepared already. Because the Lord knows, I know he can speak well. And when Aaron was speaking to all of them, and they did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And this verse 31, I would not take it as a verse of faith. Because they believed just because they were showing all the signs. They did not believe the Lord. They believed the signs. For them, something is better than nothing. Compared to the slavery, I'm happy to see some miracles here. No, quite exciting. And their faith, they bow their heads and worshipping, is still not the faith that the Lord was expecting from them. So, none of them had started climbing the mountain except Aaron and Moses, who have taken the first step on the mountain. They obeyed, they did what the Lord said, and instead of climbing the mountain alone, Moses had this blessed company of two people holding their hands together, go together, when one down, other will come in. It truly happened. So here we talk about the two brothers who are going to perform the work of the Lord. This is where chapter 4 stops. But now, I just want to focus on few verses to highlight this section, and we will continue next week. When the Lord called Moses, whenever the Lord calls the name twice, whenever the Lord calls a name twice, and there is always a mighty reason behind it, because he can call the name once, right? And in the Bible, there are people who were called by the Lord twice. Not just in a good way, but also in a bad way. So, let's say Sister Lucy and I talking. She can call me Brother Prasi, Brother Prasi. So I call her Sister Lucy, right? So there are two perspectives. The one who calls, the one who listens. Amen? Now I call, she listens, and she calls me, I listen. So there are two perspectives, correct? Now, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, I am. Amen. 46 verse 2. Chapter 46 verse 2. 46 verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. Amen. Let's continue a few more verses before we discuss. We know the Lord called Moses twice. Moses, Moses. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Here I am. He called the name of Samuel twice, right? And the rest of the verses we will read next week. But before that, the Lord called Martha, Martha. The Lord called Simeon, Simeon. And the Lord called Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he also called Saul, Saul. Why you persecute me? And in these names, the Lord was speaking to the people. He is the one who called the name and they were listening. But there is one verse, the Lord used the same to represent the perspective of people who call his name twice. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 to 23.
Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Amen. Let's keep it in your mind, I pray. When the Lord called Moses, Moses, Abraham, Abraham, Samuel, Samuel, Jacob, Jacob, Martha, Martha, Simeon, Simeon, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And the Lord said two different things when it comes to people calling him. Amen. On one side, he says, there are people who will do miracles in my name. They will do all of this and that. They will say, Lord, Lord, twice. Whenever the communication is between the Lord and the man, the name is called twice. When the Lord calls about himself spiritually, as we sang the song today, Holy, 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 Faith, Hope, Love, and Peter denied Jesus three times. Thrice, it represents something more spiritual concerning the Lord himself. Twice represents concerning what the Lord is dealing with people, the men. So when he called them twice. But then, Jesus was on the cross, as a man in the flesh, he also said, my God, why you forsake me? Was there any answer given? There was silence. Amen? So there was a question asked which could not yield an answer but only silence. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, people will call me Lord, Lord, but I don't know them, I never knew them, depart from me. He repeats the word twice. But he himself called God, God, why you forsake me? You have to understand why the Lord called the name twice. Something mighty is about to happen. And the Lord wants to bring it to the attention that there is an intimacy between those the Lord wants to call them twice. And he also told Martha, Martha, to teach her that the other sister, she chose the right thing. Learn from it. And he called all the names twice because he wants to lift them up to put up on a mountain to give them a position, to give them an inheritance, to give them a responsibility, to lead something for him, he called them twice. Highest importance at that particular time. So then calling the name of Moses twice is very important. But so beautifully, the task was actually shared across Moses and Aaron. So by the grace of God, we will continue next week. May the Lord guide us. And I pray that the Lord speak to our hearts, even throughout the week. Sermon, prayer gathering, fellowship, like what Brother Zoyal shared, we cannot simply listen and leave it there. We have to meditate over and over again. The Lord will speak to us. We have one more week. May the Lord move our hearts to go to the Bible and study. He will speak to us. He will teach us directly. Amen. The Lord bless you all. Let's all stand and close the sermon with a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you called all of us by name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we received your name as a great reward of our life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful relationship of thee and Moses and Aaron. Lord, we are blessed and we are inspired. Lord, we want to learn. We want to learn more of you so that, O Lord, we can be a vessel for thy work and thy will and thy pleasure, O Lord. Lord, help us to suppress our flesh and to stand upright as a spirit man to please thee, O Lord. And Lord, open our eyes and open our hearts that there is no unbelief and there is no unfaithfulness left in our life, because you do not want us to remain as babes, but you want us to grow. You want us to grow as a grown-up adult man, because when you created Adam, he did not create him as a child. You made him as a grown adult man. Lord, we are all quickened by the last Adam. Lord, help us, O Lord, to grow and attain the measure of the fullness of Christ, so that, Lord, when you cast down the nets, Lord, may you show thy grace and mercy that we will be caught. Let us all grow, O Lord, in our faith, in our spiritual understanding, that we will listen to your voice. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything that happened today, and we bless thy holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren.